Y'all know what time it is.
Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody.
Hat on,
hat on,
suit on,
suit on,
looking like the Dapper Don,
giving a microphone,
dress
like a million bucks,
diamond
things in his cuffs.
Mm-hmm. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey?
Oh, everybody out there listening to me. Put your hands together for Steve Harvey.
Put your hands together.
Listening to The Voice, come on, dig me now, one and only Steve Harvey got a radio show. Today, I wanted to give you something that I've been learning more and more lately. You know, I'm a huge fan of the book The Secret, but I did myself a favor because I know I learn better this way. I learn better by hearing. And so I downloaded The Secret onto my iPhone, so I got the audio book. And man, oh man, oh man, what a smart move that really was for me, because I know how I learn. You know, I do very well with visual. When I can see what it is that I'm after or how to do something, I do it better. And when I'm listening, I learn better like that. I wish I had known that about myself in college and stuff like that, where I didn't do so well. If I could have learned that that's the way I learned, I would have used more tools to help me. But let's just say I figured it out. And so I'm grateful for that. And I was listening to the audio portion of this book, and I've been learning so much more. I've rephrased a lot of it to fit how I think and more of how I talk. And I just wanted to share that with you this morning, man. It might help you out a great deal. And one of the things that my mother had always taught me, and because it's a spiritual thing with my mother's, it's a biblical reference to my mother. And the book The Secret grabbed that principle and uses it very well. And it's gratitude. I want to run this by you every day. You know what I started doing? I started spending my every waking moment being thankful, showing gratitude. Now, in the book, it says to put that out there in the universe. But if you're waking up and you're saying thank you, I mean, who are you saying thank you to? I mean, let's be real here. That universe was created by a God. That is my belief. That's the majority of people's belief that I know. I'm not knocking you if you don't believe that. Do you? Let me know how that work out for you, though. But so my thank you is to my Heavenly Father, as is a lot of yours. But here's the thing. I started saying thank you from the time I wake up till I go in the bathroom, till I shower, till I dress, till I get in my van, till I get to work, while I'm on the elevator, until I sit down and crack the mic. Now, somebody might say, man, that's a lot of time. No, hold up, man. hold up. It's really not. Because what it does for you, it does more for you than for anyone else. This is about you. Showing gratitude and being grateful is for you. And let me tell you what it does. When I started doing this, man, it started changing my day. It started changing my attitude towards the day. So when the difficulties of the day began, they were nothing to me because I was so filled with gratitude. I'm talking about continuous thanks for all things. You cannot run out of things to be grateful for. Not if you fine-tune your gratitude. Not if you do it in a way where you're being very specific about what you're grateful for. When you wake up and you're grateful for waking up, when you're grateful for the ability to move today, when you are grateful for the fact that you have solid thoughts right now, that you are in your right mind, when you start thanking him for the flexibility that you feel in the morning and the stiffness and as it wears off as you start moving around, that's another reason to be grateful, that you have a shower to take, that there are many people who don't have a place to shower, that the fact that you're brushing your teeth, the fact that you have somewhere to go, the fact that your job may not be ideally the job you want, but you have a job to go to, that you have a measure of health, that you have a place to go and get a cool drink of water to start your day, or you can make a cup of coffee, or the fact that you can grab yourself a yogurt on the way out the door, and the fact that you have a way to get to work, whether it's on the subway, the bus, the cab, or you have the wherewithal to walk to work, or you driving to work, in whatever kind of car it is, that you have a place to be, to provide. When you start really fine-tuning your gratitude, it is amazing, man. And what it does is it puts you in a state of mind that is so uplifting to you that it is the perfect way to start your day. Y'all think I'm clowning with you here? I am not. Try it. Try it. You are what you think. So you start the day off as this grateful creature, this grateful person, this grateful soul. You start your day off as grateful. Man, oh man, oh man, how good is that? And it just spirals throughout your day and it puts you in a great mood. My mood has totally changed. I'm not a bad mood person anyway, but you know, when my day starts getting heavy, man, sometimes it get on me, man. Cause I mean, I'm from the time I wake up till I go home at night. Can you imagine having somebody move you around all day? What it would feel like to have somebody making you accountable for every single moment of your day. The moment you stop to take a breath, somebody finds that as an opportunity to spend a moment with you because to them it's just a minute, but they don't know all the minutes that's occupied in your day. Imagine that. So it used to get on me real heavy sometimes, man. So I try to steal some minutes here, steal some minutes there. Still, but now, man, it don't jump on me that way. You know what I'm saying? I got to take some time to myself throughout the day. So as soon as I get off the air, I take a 20-minute break before I go to my briefing to start my talk show. And you say 20 minutes ain't nothing. See, it ain't, but it's all I got. And I use it to shut myself down, meditate, have a quiet moment, become even more thankful. Then after the show is over, I got another briefing that I do. I even have my lunch during the briefing. I don't have a lunch where I sit down and I'm in my room talking cheerful stuff. I'm doing the briefing for the second show that I taped that day, doing my lunch. But I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for everything. Because, man, I have a show, too, that keeps me busy. I have a radio show that keeps me busy. I got another TV. I'm just grateful for all of it, man. And what happens is, let me share this with you. It changes your focus because now your focus is not on what you don't have. Your focus is on what you do have. Do you understand that amazing turnaround in your life if you can make that one, folks? If your focus became on the things that you do have and your focus leaves the things that you don't have, do you know the feeling of accomplishment, the feeling of satisfaction, the feeling of being filled half empty and half full is two different thoughts. It's amazing when you start thinking your life is almost full, so full, instead of looking at it as being so empty. When you change that focus through gratitude, you then open up the pathways for more stuff to come to you. A lot of us are blocking our blessings today because we ain't grateful for the ones we have. See, we so busy telling God and putting out in the universe what we don't have, what we ain't got, that we no longer are receptive to things that we could have. You have now blocked all your blessings from coming because your focus is not on the come, it's to what you ain't got. So how can more blessings come your way? How can more good things come your way? How can positive things start happening to you if your focus is on the negative things? If your focus is on the things that you don't have? If your focus is on what you're lacking instead of what the abundance that you have and what you expect more of? If you change your gratitude, you change your attitude, and it changes your altitude. Man. Use your gratitude to change your attitude, which then affects your altitude. Do you feel me now? Come on, man. Ain't that a good thing? I've had to rework it to the way I say it, but man, that's been so helpful for me. Every day. Start your day that way. Just try it. Try it starting now. Or you want to get a fresh start, do it tomorrow morning. But watch what happens to you, okay? It's going to amazingly revolutionize the way you face your day. Okay?
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
18 minutes after the hour. Church music, please. Welcome Shirley, Carla, Tommy, Junior.
Good morning, darling.
Morning, Rhea.
Morning, everyone.
Thank you. Good morning. Happy Friday.
As Favorite soon as Cicero
week. Church music.
Gets on the organ, we'll begin today.
How he late?
Come on, Cicero. There he is, Pastor.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Take your time.
Put you in the mood, huh?
We today want to bring something to your attention.
All right.
The sermon for today is New Orleans is too much.
Yes. The N.O. Pastor. Talk about the N.O.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, let's go deeper.
Uh-huh.
New Orleans is too much.
Come on.
New Orleans proved too much for the man. He couldn't take it.
Oh, really?
So he's leaving on a what?
Midnight train.
On the midnight train to Georgia.
That's right.
There's someone calling me right now.
Calling?
And they don't know that I'm in the middle of a sermon and I'm going to have to call you back. That's how
Preach
I handle
it.
New Orleans proved too much for the man. He couldn't take it. So he's leaving tonight on a midnight train. Well,
to Georgia.
To Georgia.
Georgia.
Oh, you better preach up in here, Pastor.
Why am I saying that?
No.
Is because in New Orleans, there's an incredible event going down.
Yeah.
It's called Mardi. Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras this weekend.
Yeah.
And on the same weekend, the NBA thought it'd be a good idea to have an all-star game at the same time. How much hell can you pack in one weekend? How many tricks gonna fly into New Orleans for this? It's gonna be hell on high wheels in New Orleans, dude. Ain't no treats for you. Everybody in New Orleans going to hell this weekend. Mm-hmm. Mardi Gras beads, women pulling up their chests, showing their boobies, everything for a little fake ruby.
Yeah.
And now they're going to bring in the NBA players. You know them boys don't know how to stay out of them strip clubs, but you're going to mess around in New Orleans and go in the wrong kind of strip club. You're going to wind up watching a donkey do some things that you didn't know was doable.
Come on here, Pastor.
You're going to go in there and mess around in New Orleans and find out what folk midgets really do. You're going to mess around because New Orleans and Bourbon Street got tricks for you. I don't think some of them NBA players is going to make it out alive this weekend. They're going to be in the news. They finna be on TMZ. Everybody going to New Orleans to see what kind of fool they're going to make out theyselves. Come on, LeBron, make it back and stay clean. Watch yourself, Dwayne Wade. Come back and be clean. Come on down there, Carmelo. Make it back like the strong fella that you is. I tell you one thing. They need to see Charles Oakley down there this weekend so he can clean house. Swinging and banging from Cleveland is what I'm talking about.
Come on, Charles.
It's going to be some problems. Some of them young players is going to get caught up in the hype.
Yeah.
Some of them young boys going to get out now and going to be all over the place this weekend. My only wish is that I was young enough to go my damn self. Because I swear to God, I want to be down there. If I could just be a fly on the wall or a wall on the fly, it don't make me no different.
What you think about Draymond Green down there, Panther? Draymond Green.
Draymond Green, the photos are already down there. They waiting you. Your picture proceeds in your presence. Stephon Curry, all them stars going to be down there. Shaq and Barkley, old pros that know how to do it. Take a lesson from them old pros on how to act down there.
Yeah.
Try to remember that everybody got a phone camera. I'm going to say it again. Try to remember that everybody got a phone camera. You finna be on internet. You finna be sensational, star. Well, hip-hop is going to be your new home. TMZ, world star, all of them. You're going to be the front page. Bossip going to take you down. You already know what media takeout will do. Even if they can't do you, they're going to make up something that will get you done. You got to be careful when you get out there, fellas. We wanted to inform you.
And don't forget the light-skinned people, Pastor. That's Steph Curry and
Clay. The boy that won the dunk contest.
Aaron Gordon.
New Orleans proved too much for the man.
One more thing, Pastor. Down in New Orleans, that boy with
couldn't
that unibrow.
Take it. So he leaving on a midnight train to, well,
Georgia.
Atlanta is in Georgia. Ain't that much safer, but at least it ain't Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras in the NBA All-Star game. The arrest. The rappers. That's Cash Money territory. That Weezy territory. That used to be what his name, my friend, a little boy, tall rapper. Master P territory.
Percy.
That's what the other boy come down there had two hits. What the rapper. Used to be with Bebe now. What's his name?
Mystical.
Mystical already been in. What the other boy name? That Bebe Nim release. Yeah, that's him. I liked him. I liked him too. He went on, lived up to his name. Got his ass right on out the bitch.
Can't be juvenile and then act like it too.
You're a mess.
All doors right. of the church are open. Yes. Won't you come?
Come on in.
And come, please come before you go to New Orleans.
Please.
Business going to hell down there.
When we come back from the break at 34 after the hour, Steve, something funny coming up next. Black History is rolling. We're halfway through it. Get ready for Steve's little known Black History Month facts when we come back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, we're back 34 minutes after the hour. Let's get to it. When we come back, I guess the ignorance is going to continue.
Oh, it never stops on this show.
We are an entertainment show. Ladies and gentlemen, guess what?
What?
Little known Black history moments that you did not know. Once again, don't tweet us, text us, being concerned.
Please,
we're not doing this for seriousness. You can cut on BET and watch Roots all you want this month.
They're going to have it on.
They got it.
Man, how many times I got to see you? I get it. I was through with Roots when Chicken George didn't whip the man. That's when I was through. Anybody deserved an ass whooping, it was him.
At least him, huh?
At least him.
All right. So we have some facts coming up, don't forget.
Oh, man. Stuff you need to know.
You need to know this stuff.
All right, we back. Junior, Tommy. Junior, what you got?
Yeah, Unc, I'll tell you like this. Now, Shirley and Carly, y'all don't even know this. This happened back in 1977, very recent.
1977.
Okay. Yeah, 1977. Okay. Yeah, at Bobby J. Wilson's birthday party, his fifth birthday party. First when handheld cameras came out.
Okay.
First time they recorded. Mm-hmm. And Uncle Reggie Wilson got into a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now his woman he had, her name was Brenda Side-Eye Cooper.
Oh.
Okay. Now Brenda Side Eye Cooper, the reason I call her Side Eye because she had a lazy eye. Okay. The eye was always it looked like she was always looking at another man, according to Reggie. Reggie caught her looking at Marvin Washington, who had just got home from jail.
Okay. Mm.
Okay. Now this all at the baby fifth birthday party. They got it all on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Reggie go confront Marvin. About why is he looking at Brenda and Brenda looking at him. Marvin said, I'm not looking at Brenda, Side Eye Cooper, because Brenda got a lazy eye. That wasn't enough for Reggie. Reggie swung on Marvin. Now, all this is on tape now.
Okay.
Reggie swung on Marvin. If I tell you that Marvin went ham on Reggie, beat the frame off of him. All this on camera. Now, he had just got home.
Right, right.
Okay, he had just got home. Beat the frame off of him. Took 5 men to get Marvin off of Reggie.
Wow.
They recorded it. That night, the whole neighborhood had heard about what happened at the birthday party. Everybody came over and they played the tape. They watched it about 400 times, which is now known as the first Black reality show that we had ever seen. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Ooh, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Wow.
This was the first time a reality show had ever happened.
I like it.
400. It's still in circulation today.
What's their name again?
That was Reggie Wilson. And Marvin Washington. Yeah. Over there with Brenda Side-Eye Cooper.
It's that Side-Eye.
Yeah. Got Reggie ass beat down. Marvin went to town. He had to go back to jail because it was on tape.
Wow.
First reality show. It was not Atlanta Housewives.
None of that.
It was ass whooping over Reggie Wilson.
All right, nephew, what you got? Thank you, Junior.
You're welcome.
Here it is, man. 1936.
Okay. Take us back.
Okay, 36, 1936. Hortensia Lavonda Lewis. All right, now listen, her butt, this is in Lexington, Kentucky. Her butt was astronomically huge. When she walked, her panties would gather in the middle of her buttocks. Okay? People would come from miles away around just to watch Hortensia walk. Children would stare when she walked. She got tired of her panties gathering. She went to her mama, Henrietta Lewis, and asked her to help her stop this problem. Her mama took them panties and cut out as much as she could, but still left them connected from the top to the bottom. All right. Hortensia kept saying, Mama, this is wrong. This is wrong. And her mama said, this is the only way
You're going to be able to get by without all these problems. There was the birth of the thong. The first thong was worn in 1936 by Hortensia LaVonda Lewis. Lexington, Kentucky is where the thong came from.
Put them on the map.
But she was just walking around in her panties, so no clothes.
She just walking around the street in her drawers.
Yes, her panties.
I'm just trying to tell you her panties would gather up on her backside and folks could see it.
But she was just walking.
Through
just
her walking. Clothes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You can see all of that.
All of that would be happening.
I'm confused.
Wow.
Her butt would literally eat half her dress. Everything gathered. Well, I'm sorry.
All right, coming up next. Questions. Thank you. These are little known facts that are
y'all don't even know
that are no longer unknown. All right, coming up next, it's called Run That Prank Back. What you got, nephew?
I got it. Just hold tight. When I get back, I'm going to tell you. I'm still working on this thong. I'll be back in a minute.
I thought Cisco invented the thong.
Surely called.
What are y'all? Almost answered what y'all was playing.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, y'all. Hey, y'all, get ready. Coming up at top of the hour, Ice Cube going to be our special guest.
Ice Cube.
Yeah. All right, now.
Yeah. Tell us about his new movie, Fist Fight.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready. But before that, we're going to run that prank back.
What is it, nephew?
Let's get married. Mm-hmm. Let's get married.
It sound good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's ignorant. You know
it's going to turn on you.
Me and my friend want to get married. Mm. That's all. Hold on, there.
Is your friend already married?
Mm-mm.
But you are.
Just wait for the prank.
Give me a pass.
Just wait for the prank.
Pastor, how you doing? My name is Virgil.
I'm fine.
I was reaching out to you trying to, I'm trying to get married, and I wanted to know what it took to get married at your church.
Excuse me, Virgil, quick question. Where'd you get my personal number?
I'm not, I don't know where I got the number.
Never mind, we'll deal with it. What's your question?
Well, what I'm trying to get at is I'm trying to get married. I really like your church.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there several times.
Thanks.
And I'm really interested about, what will it take to get married in there? And I might be calling you at the last minute, man. I want to get married at the end of February.
Well, being in a hurry, I will have to go through counseling first, maybe 4 to 6 weeks, and we can take it from there. You'd have to give me a call back on that, but tell me a little bit about just a little.
Well, what it is that we've been trying to get married for a long time. We've been having a lot of difficulties with it, and never really found the right church that we thought would be a good place to get married. I think it's you got a feeling in your heart that this is the best place to get married. You know what I mean? So, we've been in your church quite a few times, maybe about 4 or 5 times, and we have both agreed that this would be the perfect place for us to get married.
You're not a member at Mount, are you?
No, sir, I'm not. Like I say, I've visited, we've visited 4 or 5 times. We really liked it, and we're sold on trying to get married at the church.
Well, go through the count 4 to 6 weeks, once a week, and we can talk about the rest of it at another time.
Okay. And after that, then you're saying we'll be prepared to get married then?
I would think so, sure. Yeah, no problem. How soon were you talking about?
Well, like I said, we were trying to do it at the end of February. Let me ask you this here now. After going through counseling, would we be able to have you be the person to actually perform the ceremony? Because that's what I know that's what I want, is for you to actually perform the procedure.
Yes,
for us.
Yes, that's possible.
Okay. Well, listen, let me apologize. I didn't know I had your personal number. I do apologize for that. I do have my soon-to-be spouse on the phone, and they would like to ask you a couple questions, too, if that's all right.
Yeah, it's okay. I can speak with her.
Okay. Alfred?
Alfred? Yes. Hi, hey, Pastor. How you doing?
Alfred. Go ahead, Alfred.
Hey, hi, Pastor. My name is Alfred, and I wanted to have a couple of questions myself. I just wanted to know what was the capacity of your church, because we got quite a few friends and family members that were going to attend, so... That was one thing I wanted to know about.
Right.
700. Okay. Right, but well, Virgil, that sounds pretty good, huh, Virgil?
Well, that's what we wanted. We wanted to make sure it was enough room for our friends. So we're probably going to invite about 300 friends. So mm-hmm. that should be fine.
That'd be
so,
nice.
So, Pastor, when can we get counseling started?
Alfred, you're getting married? Are you married?
Alfred is who I'm marrying, Pastor. But Alfred and I are trying to get married by the end of February.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I was talking to Virgil. Now,
I'm Virgil.
Yeah. Oh, you're on Alfred.
So Alfred is on the phone with me. Alfred is who I'm getting married to. So we want to know
excuse. So, Pastor, when can we start counseling the church? Who is we? Well, Virgil and I.
Yes. When can we start?
Excuse me. We can't start counseling at my church. Not at mass. Forget about counseling. You need to come to Bible study. What is he talking about, Virgil?
Pastor, what seems to be the problem?
Excuse me?
What seems to be the problem? What is the problem that we can't get married at your church?
The problem is the institute of marriage is between a man and a woman. God did not put Adam and Eve to be Adam and Steve.
You just said if we go through counseling for 4 to 6 weeks, everything would be fine.
The hell with counseling? You on another level now. I don't believe in same-sex marriage, bro.
But people of same-sex are getting married all over the country. So what seems to be the problem, Pastor?
That's right and wrong. It doesn't matter to me what people are doing around the country. At Mount, we're sticking by the book. The Bible says that the institute of marriage is between a man and a woman. I don't find you two to be that. I'm really not appreciative of the phone call. Now I've been insulted. Hell no. Excuse me. I can't marry
you. Okay, but can you make an exception?
I can't make an exception. But we love each other.
Exactly. Thank you, Alfred. Yes, we do.
I'm glad you do. I'm happy for you. But we don't roll like that, bro. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Absolutely no.
I'm not.
A man and a woman must first leave their mother and father and cleave unto his wife. You don't see the problem here? I really don't have anything else to say.
Okay, but before you go, can I say something else to you?
Hey, you may as well. You already insulted me.
We got your number from Reverend Chapman.
Reverend Chapman?
The assistant pastor, Reverend Chapman, is the one who gave
us. I know who he is, Reverend Chapman. He gave you my number for this? No, man. I really don't have much more time. I need to talk to Chapman.
Okay, but Reverend Chapman said you wouldn't have a problem marrying her.
That's right. Reverend Chapman said I wouldn't have a problem Reverend Chapman said I wouldn't have a problem marrying you. I really don't have much time for you.
Okay, well, let me go ahead and say this, Pastor. I just want to let you know on behalf of the assistant pastor, I'm Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show, and you've just been pranked.
Wait.
Hello?
Oh.
Pastor?
Wait a minute. Chapman. If Chapman ain't got nothing better to do, we really need to find him some. We need to find him some better to do. Hey, I'm embarrassed.
Pastor, you all right?
I don't know. I got a heart chaser. Wait a minute. Chapman got a little bit too much radio time on his hand. I can guarantee you one thing, he won't be listening to the radio no more.
I got to ask you this. What is the baddest, and I mean the baddest, radio show in the land?
I have to say the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
My buddy Ice Cube's new movie, Fist Fight, is in theaters today, everybody. Had a conversation with him. And we're going to let you find out what he got to say about it. We talked to him about the movie. Check it out.
We have a special phone call, special guest family member on the line. Tommy, you want to do the honors?
Can I do the honors?
Oh, please.
Do it. Please,
you
please.
Sure?
Yes.
I can get
ahead.
A yay in here?
Yes.
Special guest this morning, y'all. Pioneer of West Coast rap, an outstanding actor and movie producer. He got a new movie in theaters tomorrow. The movie is Fist Fight, and he's joining us this morning to tell us all about the movie. Put your hands together. Oh, my God. The one and only Ice Cube.
He's a superstar.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing real good. You know, got this hilarious movie coming out tomorrow. So
it looks funny too. Oh, it looks funny.
Yeah, it's a funny premise.
Man, we all know about 3 o'clock bell ring. So two of the students getting ready to fight, but this is completely different, man. Tell us about it.
You know, everybody in every workplace, you know, it's somebody this close to getting their butt whooped. So right now, we in school, and the school is so bad that it's done pressure to teachers into having a fist fight after school, 3 o'clock, parking lot, old school style.
Yeah, we know about that.
Teachers beefing, though?
I like it, though. Man. I'm sure teachers be beefing anyway.
You know teachers get into it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so we just took it to the next level, had fun with it. Right. Of course, we don't condone no violence in the workplace, but in a movie, yeah. Uh-huh.
There you go. Hey man, our boy Tracy Morgan back on the scene, boy. What's it like working with him back on the scene, man, in Fist Fight?
Man, it was just so good to have him around. And to see that he was the same old Tracy Morgan. Tracy Morgan is the most inappropriate, sincere dude you know. So he's both sides of the spectrum, you know what I mean? So it's cool to just have him around. And I think the accident made him funnier, to be honest.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I love that line. I look like a minion.
He's killing it in this movie. Funny as ever.
Man, y'all got a lot of action going on, Cube, man. You in there throwing fists, man. Are you doing most of this?
Hey, man, they had me doing all these fights, man. You know, it was an 8-day shoot for the fight alone. It took 8 days to shoot.
Wow.
Because it's an epic fight, and it goes on forever. I was like, damn, man, are we shooting Rocky or are we shooting Fist Fight? I still need a massage from that movie, man. I'm still sore from shooting that movie, but it was all us, for real. Mm. Crazy.
Snitches get stitches.
Yeah, snitches get stitches, for sure. You know, and I've been wanting to work with Charlie Day for a long time.
He's funny.
Yeah.
He's funny. He got his own style of comedy. Uh-huh. And I knew if me and him did a movie together that we'd kill it. And, you know, Fist Fight is hilarious on all levels. And, you know, it's some scene-stealing things going on in there, man, that people just going to fall out their seat, period.
Oh, I love it.
So did you learn anything, man, about playing a teacher?
Yeah, you know, I like playing a teacher. I had a teacher like that named Mr. Toussaint. He one of them teachers that snatch you up out of collar if you got out of line.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You
know,
he had an afro. He used to comb it to the front.
Yes! Yes, Q! Yes!
Yeah, you...
Come on, Mr. Toussaint!
You mean... He was mean, boy. But nobody messed with him. You know what I mean? Nobody messed with him. So I was like, that's the teacher I'm going to play. I'm going to play Mr. Toussaint.
Mr. Toussaint. What subject you teach, IQ?
Oh, he back when they used to teach wood, you know, they used to.
I remember that wood shop.
How to work with their hands. You know, they used to teach kids how to work with their hands. And we had wood shop, and he was the wood shop teacher. And, man, if you didn't sandpaper that wood right, boy, you'd be in your grill.
I'm trying to picture all this hair rushing to the front, though. I'm trying to picture that.
Oh, I've seen that. I know exactly what Cube means.
Yeah.
It's going down. Tomorrow it jumps off Fist Fight in theaters across the country, starring the very own, the outstanding Ice Cube. Mm-hmm. Hip-hop legend, boy.
Yes, he is.
Thank you.
We love you, boy. You got to give me a yay before you get out of here.
Oh, you know you got to get it. Hey, everybody go see Fist Fight tomorrow. And you know you're hearing it from your homeboy Ice Cube. A yay.
I love it.
Then he hang up and just go all by himself.
Did he drop the mic?
That's how you drop it.
All right. Boy, we love Ice Cube. Yeah. Cube.
Yay, yay.
We love him. All right, listen to this. Now, this is according to a new Go Banking Rates poll. 21% of people say they won't be getting a tax refund this year. And of those getting refunds, 41% will put in savings, while another 38% will use it to pay off debt. Here's our question of the day. What are you going to do with your tax return? And here's part two. You know we love these two-parters. NBA All-Star Game, we've talked about it, is this weekend in New Orleans. Who is the greatest basketball player of all time? Give us a call, 877-29-STEVE. That's easy.
You're going to start something today.
That's a long question, Shirley.
Yeah, well, let's see. Let's go to line two and talk to Harold out of Michigan.
Your name, Steve.
Harold.
Harold.
Yeah, what's up, man?
This Harold, what's up, man?
What's going on here again?
Harold, one syllable.
What you say, Hal?
Hal is just one syllable.
Just one.
It can be.
Here's the question.
Okay.
Are you getting a refund this year?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What you going to do with your refund, Hal?
Well, listen, man. I'm going to, I got a couple bills I'm going to pay. And then the rest I'm saving, man.
Good. Okay. All right, Harold.
I like to save my money, man.
No, that's smart,
that's
man.
That's very smart.
That's very smart.
Because it gives you a cushion for throughout
that's
the year.
Right.
In case something happens. So you keep, yeah, man. Yeah,
you got to have that emergency fund, man. Like I said, I got a nice little something put up now, man. So, but you know what? You've got to keep saving, man, you know, because
yes,
I drive for a living, man. And I know, you know, you like them drivers, man. I drive for a living, man. This is lucrative business, man. People going to always need a ride.
I like the way you put that, Harold.
When you get older, you know, because that's what we do. We do like a paratransit program for, you know, like people who can't make it to the regular bus stop. So, you know, you got to have some type of disability, whether it be physical or mental. And we'll come get you and take you wherever you got to go. You know?
Oh, that's good, man. That's
so
good,
we start with the city of Detroit, man, and we do an excellent job at it, too, man. So,
okay. Save that money, boy. Hey, let me ask you a question, man. All-Star Game this weekend. Who, in your opinion, is the greatest basketball player of all time?
Oh, man. Now, you know, I'm going to say Jordan. You know, a lot of people going to say Jordan. And the reason I say Jordan is because he got the 6 rings, man. And then he just done that some stuff, man. Ain't nobody accomplished, man. Right. Now, you got guys coming up now, man. You can't take nothing away from Kobe. You can't take nothing away from what's that cat, light skinned boy? Can't take nothing away from him. I don't like their team, so I don't even know. Curry.
He's Stephon.
He's a light skinned boy.
Yeah, the light skinned boy. You know, you can't take nothing away from him, man. But you know, when you think back on the greats, like prior to Kobe, you know, it's a lot of greats, but Kobe still got the crown, man. I'm gonna have to say Kobe, man.
Man, right, that's a cat dog on the board. He love that.
That's
Kobe, greatest basketball player of all time.
Man, I'm an avid listener, man. I've been listening for years. I mean, I've been following Steve Harvey, you know, before Steve Harvey was even Steve Harvey, you know.
Come on, boy.
Cat, man. I was just, you know, you my man, though.
Come on, boy. Ride or die. Yeah. See, he ain't turn on me.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
18 minutes after the hour, when we come back, you know who's here.
Who?
Him.
Who is him?
Him. He's here. He got all types of problems.
Why you say it like that?
He just do. He has problems. And you just can't get past it. Try to tell
myself. Why does it hurt so? Good morning, everyone. Steven, Tommy, Shirley, Carla Jr., the crew. It's Friday. You know I'm getting ready for tonight. I have to grace the people with my present, Portsmouth, Virginia, at Willett Hall tonight. So
fly, flutter, flutter.
Okay.
Let's hear
good
about
morning.
It.
Good morning. Happy Friday. Hey, Carla. Hey, Shirley.
Hey,
baby. Jr.
Morning, butterfly.
All right. That's my roommate in the dressing room. It's him.
Who, Junior?
Well, we on tour.
Y'all share it. Dressing room?
Carla. Carla, come on now. Carla.
What, Junior?
This me.
He's not. That's not true.
Steven.
No, it's not true.
I was getting ready to say it.
Yeah.
go ahead and ask me about the you know, the what is it, the your tax return and then the basketball. I'm gonna be a part of what
okay,
the guys are
okay,
doing.
Okay, cool. I'll participate. You getting a tax return this year?
Yes.
Good.
A little more enthusiasm, Steve, on your part.
Are you getting a tax return this year?
That's not good either. You don't sound like you do when you do your talk show. Sound like you do when you're asking the audience stuff. You have to do it like that.
That was forced, Steve.
Are you getting a tax return this year?
Yes, I am.
That hurt, Steve.
Okay, good. What's your favorite basketball player of all time?
He's dying.
Thank you. So what else is going on?
You're not letting me answer. You know, I like me some, first of all, Dennis Rodman was so good in the game.
Mm-hmm. And
what?
Why do you like Dennis Rodman so much?
Because he was a rebounder. He was a very good rebounder. He was just, you know, he had more energy than anybody on the court.
What is the greatest basketball player of all time? Can't say no damn Dennis Rodman.
I can say damn Dennis Rodman if I want. I can say damn
You're
Dennis
stupid.
Rodman.
You don't even understand the game. If you think he the greatest basketball player of all time, you don't even understand the game.
I can beat you.
Whoa.
Was that a challenge?
Here we go.
We could do it however he want to do it, but I'm just saying I can beat him.
You think he can beat Steve playing basketball?
I can beat him in one of my outfits. Trust me, I can.
Hey, dog, really?
In one of your outfits.
Hey, dog.
First of all, I ain't no dog. I didn't tell you about that.
On the real, if I just went back out there for 4 days and just got my rhythm back.
Your ass going to pull something. That's what's going to happen.
You or Tommy can't whoop me.
Tommy ain't in this. This is me and you. This is me and you right now, partner.
What?
Eugene. I've been trying to use them words they be using to make them
first
sound
of all, first of all, let me explain something to you. You ain't a dog, right?
No.
Then you can't beat me, dog. It's no way. Because you have to have a lot of dog in you.
It ain't the fight in the dog. It's the dog in the fight.
Well, if you ain't in the fight, then where the dog at?
It's just the opposite.
That's dumb.
Roof then, whatever. Do you want to play or not?
I'll play Tommy. I don't want to play you. Because I'm not.
Why you don't
want to
play me?
No way. Because you don't deserve to be on the same floor.
Because you're scared of my crossover. That's all it is.
We got to go.
Your crossover ain't scared nobody but the people that know you.
We have to go.
Your crossover ain't scared nobody but Gloria.
Uh-oh. Look at the time.
Goodbye.
Coming up next, we're going to go to the phones. If you're getting a tax return, what are you planning on doing with that money? Part two of this question. The NBA All-Star Game is this weekend in New Orleans. What do you think and who do you think is the greatest basketball player to ever play the game? 877
Dennis Rodman.
29 Steve.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up next, we're going to the phones. If you're getting a tax return, what are you going to do with your money? And who do you think is the greatest NBA player of all time? You know, the NBA All-Star game is this weekend in New Orleans. Call us 877-29-STEVE. We'll be back. All right, let's go to line three, and talk to Don out of Illinois.
Hey, Don.
Yes, sir.
Are you getting a tax return?
Yes, sir.
All right, so what you going to do with your money, Don?
Well, I have kids. I have two kids, one boy, one girl. And I like to spend all that I can, if I can, to try to see them having what they don't have. So I say I just spend it on my kids.
Okay. Huh? Nice, Don.
Hey, man, that ain't bad. How old are the kids, Don?
15 and 16, sir. One boy, one girl.
Okay, slow down on spending with the boy. He'll be all right.
Oh, you know that.
Yeah. But that little girl just gonna keep on spoiling the dog. That'll set the pattern for the boys that come into her life.
Because
they gonna know how their daddy treated them, and then they expect that from a boy, and they get treated better that way.
All right. Yeah.
Let me ask you this here question, Don. The greatest basketball player of all time, in your opinion. What city you calling from, Don?
Illinois.
Chicago.
Okay,
Chicago
that will Shaq. Definitely have something to do with this. Yeah. What basketball player do you think is the greatest basketball player of all time, sir?
Well, actually, Mr. Harvey, if I had to go back in time, I would have saved the Bulls in their later days when they had Bob Love and Earl the Pearl. But then I have to bring it back to this time, whereas before Jordan left the game, I had to say even before Mike, there was always Dr. J.
Dr. J. Ooh, yeah.
Wow. Okay, this is a basketball connoisseur. Because he said Earl the Pearl Monroe.
Monroe. Yeah,
I watched this thing on 30 last night about the Knicks, man.
Yes,
good
sir.
Lord Jesus. David Bushel. Dollar Bill Bradley, Phil Donahue. Jackson. Then they had Cassie Russell, Willis Reed, Dick Barnett, Clyde Frazier, Walt. Damn, man, that boy Walt Frazier.
Yeah.
Y'all don't even. You know what, Junior? See, you young.
Mm-hmm.
See, y'all think these teams today is so great, but if they'd have played them boys back then and now, they got their laundry handed to them. Mm.
Who?
What you mean who? Oh, you another young one. You stupid, too.
I'm LeBron all day. You think LeBron would have got it handed to him?
Did you just say you got to be stupid because you young? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's usually when you're most stupid, ain't it? Think back when you was younger than this. Wasn't you dumber than this? Yes, you was.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, that comment was stupid. I just put that out there.
I know. Oh, you think because you're young, you dumb. Yeah. That's how it worked, man.
All right. Thank you, Don.
You think that Steph Curry now and the Cavaliers could have beat the Lakers back then?
I'm not saying that.
The Showtime Lakers?
Oh, the Lakers? Oh, my God.
Lakers was called.
Oh, the Showtime Lakers with Worthy?
Mm-mm.
Hold up, dog. You think Kareem that LeBron now... You think that Steph Curry and them could have beat the Boston Celtics when Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish was down there? Dog, you really think that, man?
Who is you talking to?
I'm talking to anybody listening.
But you question, always got to NBA talk All-Star in a
weekend.
Mad sense.
He's you so think, aggressive
you
think, with
yeah, he's so with aggressive. Your... Just
I mean,
say
I'm really scared
because if you
on.
Show about what you saying, then be show. Do you think any one of these teams could have beat Isaiah Thomas, Rick Mahorn, Dennis Rodman, and them boys, doggone Joe Dumars, man? Do you
Bennett
really think
it took the Bulls forever to beat
that
Detroit.
They could have beat the damn bad boys, the Detroit Pistons?
Yeah.
Do you really think there's a team today that could have done that?
Mm.
Raise your hand. Come on, I'm listening.
You're worked up. Aggressive. You're wound up.
Hey, y'all, when we come back after the break, Tommy going to have a prank phone call for us.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out what it is right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, y'all, we back 48 after the hour. Hey, y'all, coming up top of the hour, we got Strawberry Letter. But come on, fool, what you got?
N-B-F-U.
Huh?
No blacks for you.
Oh, boy, I'm about to say.
NBFU, no blacks for you.
F-U, too.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Well, he said it to me.
Oh, I got the prank coming up.
Junior. Well, see how y'all sat back and took that.
Guys are the most ready, set, go people I've ever met.
Sorry.
It's Black History Month. NBFU, no blacks for you. Here we go. Right after this.
Your love is king.
Hello.
Hello, I'm trying to reach Nicole, please.
This is she.
How you doing? Listen, I'm giving you a call. You happen to be in a relationship with a black man, am I right?
I'm sorry, who is this?
I'm sorry, my name is Brian. I don't want to give my full name, but it's Jedediah Malcolm.
Okay, and I'm sorry, why are you calling?
Okay, now you are a Caucasian woman, correct?
Okay, why I'm still trying to get to why are you calling?
What's going on is I'm with an organization, and we're calling people who are in interracial relationships. And from my understanding, you are in an interracial relationship, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I'm with NBFU, and that's NBFU is No Blacks
for you. And what we're doing is we're trying to get races to go back to dating each other, you know, which means Caucasians going back
you,
to dating.
I'm sorry. I don't know who you think you are calling my house, but that's just not going to happen. And I don't know where this organization is based out of. I mean, you must be some country bumpkin or something. And you have just really called the wrong house.
Okay, well, no, when NBFU, ma'am, has been around since the early 1940s.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine that. And I'm sure at some point you guys have to shut down because this is just ridiculous. Do you know? I mean, Obama's mother was white. Are you gonna go knock on his door too? What the hell are you talking about?
I don't have time to knock on Obama's door. He's busy doing other things right now.
I mean, for real.
What I'm trying to do is get the rest of the country to understand about NBFU.
Hey, who are you talking to?
No black. And that's what I'm saying. What I'm trying to tell you.
He's trying to tell us we can't be together because you're black and I'm white. He's calling.
Yo, what's up? Who this?
Okay. Who is this?
This is I'm a man. Who this?
Okay, this is Giadiah Malcolm. And what I'm doing, man, is we you know, I'm with an organization called NBFU. And NBFU, man, is no blacks for you, which what we're trying to do is we're trying to get all races to go back to each other.
Dude, what you talking about? Dude, you tripping, man. You are, what kind of organization is that? Y'all are tripping.
Okay, brother, let me ask you something. You don't feel empty without the sister on your side? You don't feel empty without black woman on your side? That's what I'm asking you, brother.
Well, I got plenty of black women on my side, but that don't mean that I had to be in a relationship with a black woman. I'm in a relationship with a woman I love. So that's what it's about. Now, I don't feel empty. That's the first problem with your organization right there. The premise is wrong.
Okay, but brother, what we're trying to do, man, we don't want to lose our race. We don't want the blacks to lose the strength that we have. And if blacks continue to date and mate with blacks, then we would be as powerful and stronger than any other race in the world.
Where'd you get this number from, man?
Excuse me?
How'd you get this number in the first place, dude? I mean, I ain't got time for all this, man. This is some nonsense, bro. Why are you calling us?
Hey, man, because aren't y'all an interracial couple?
Yeah, but what difference does that make? That ain't none of your business.
Hey, but it is my business. I'm with NBFU.
You
are a black person that are integrated within another race. And what we're trying to do, man, is get you to understand to come back to your race and be comfortable and happy in your race.
Oh, you really f***ed up now, dog. Come back to my race. I ain't never left my f***ing race, dog. You are tripping, yo. NBFU, you. Y'all get off our phone, man. Don't call here no more with that.
Do you think that you are happier with a Caucasian woman than you would be with a black woman?
Look, man, I don't even want to entertain this. Don't call here no more. Don't call here no more.
Be a man and answer the question.
Oh, dog. You know what? You about to get your ass whooped, dog. You know what? You really going to get your ass whooped. Be a man.
I'm asking you to be a man.
And you know what? If you bring your over here, you'll find out how much of a grown man I am.
Hey, man, don't get your while I'm in the middle of asking you these questions. Because I ain't got no problem coming over there. I got your phone number. I got your address, too.
Bring your on over here and see what you find.
I'm asking you about these relationships, man. Are you more comfortable in a relationship with a Caucasian woman than you are with a black woman?
Dog, I told you, man, it ain't even about that, and we ain't even going into that. So, look, just please, brother, can you stop calling here? Don't call my girl no more.
We're calling all interracial people around the country. That's what NBFU does. We call all of y'all, and we try to talk some sense into you and see if you can change the world and go back to the races from which you came.
You're tripping, y'all. You're really tripping, man. You know what? Obviously, it's a mental institution you're calling from because there's something wrong with you. So, look, don't call here no more, and we ain't got no more problems, all right?
Can I say this to you? I'm going to your girl's job, and I'm talking to her face-to-face tomorrow about this whole situation.
And you know what? And you're going to get your whooped.
No, I ain't getting my ass whooped. I'm going tomorrow, and I'm talking. Matter of fact, right. I ain't even called to talk to you. You put her back on the phone. To hell with you. Put her back on
job.
The phone.
Show up at her job tomorrow and see what happens.
I'm showing up at her job. Put her back on the phone.
Show up at her job tomorrow and see what happens.
You done changed, man. You changed.
You don't know me from the beginning, dude.
How you going to tell me I didn't change? You don't know me.
I know how you brothers get, man.
I'm as black as I ever was. You can't measure my blackness because of who I'm dating. You show up at a job tomorrow, you're going to get your ass whooped.
You ain't going to sit here and threaten me, man. I am with
him. Okay, we're done. You done worked him up, and now I'm worked up. You're done. You're done. So you can stop calling the house.
I'm coming to your job tomorrow. Do you understand me? I'm coming
to your job. You
are listening to me.
Please do.
Are you listening to me? Matter of fact, you can have your man at your job at lunchtime. Not only am I going to talk to you at lunchtime, I'm going to whoop his ass.
There's not gonna be any talking. You show up, there's not gonna be any talking.
Yeah, there's not gonna be any talking. Me and you have a discussion to uphold. NBFU wants to talk to you.
You know what? There's a saying: arguing with a fool makes you a fool. So this conversation is over.
Can I say one more thing to you?
What?
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your girlfriend.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Okay, he's about to take his blood pressure medication.
What? Hey, Nephew Tommy, I ain't never liked no way. This is Tommy.
Got to ask y'all before I leave, and I need to hear this from both of y'all. What is the baddest radio show in the land?
The Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Did I take the white lady there?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you did.
Did you?
Took her on a trip.
No.
Did you?
Then her man that's black, he get on the line. You know, woo! That's how we do it. Tell them where we at tonight, man.
Oh, man, tonight, dog, we down at Willard Hall in Portsmouth, Virginia.
Yeah.
8 o'clock show.
Yeah.
Pump it up.
Okay, we about to do this. Off we got to
go. 2,000 seater.
About to get it.
Here they come.
Yes. We're on our way to Willard Hall. Oh, I said it! Oh, God, I said it!
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, it's a time. Let's buckle up and hold on tight. Here it is, strawberry letter 23.
All right, here we go. Subject: robbed at gunpoint. It's been a nightmare. Stephen Shirley, please help me. I was robbed at gunpoint, and my spouse's teenager set it up and watched. My children were there. It was very scary. My spouse never disciplined his child for this. We don't have a good relationship. Blended families are not easy, but if both adults are not on the same page, it won't work. I've had to deal with disrespect, theft, etc., but the icing on the cake was the robbery. Forgiveness is the hope that the past could have been different. I've told my spouse I will forgive in my time. I've been asking God to help me with this. My spouse and I have decided to go our separate ways. He wanted us to work it out, but I refuse to live like a prisoner. We have children together, and their happiness is important to me. I've never been rich, but I feel like I struggle more financially when he was in the home. I'm still struggling, and I pray every day that things will get better. Please help me. Thank you. This is really awful.
What?
And I don't understand how this happened with no repercussions. A true statement you made in the letter. Blended families are not easy. Very true statement. But really, who expects to be robbed by one of the blended family members? Who expects that? Another true statement you made. If both adults are not on the same page, it won't work. That's really true. And that's why your stepchild wasn't reprimanded for setting up and watching this robbery. His dad, your husband, didn't step in and handle it. You're his wife. His kid had you set up to be robbed, and then he watched it. Your husband should have handled that. He should be taking care of you. You know what? I'm glad that you guys are going your separate ways. I really am. This is not going to work. You're right. It's good to end it here because your husband and his criminal kids have just brought nothing but pain and misery to your life. You should have left a long time ago. You and your kids are better off without them. That's what I say. Steve?
I'm still struggling, and I pray every day that things will get better. Hope is the beginning of the turnaround process. Then once you learn how to hope strong enough, then hopefully that turns into faith. Hope is the beginning of the process. You know, it's hope. Hope means a brighter outlook. That's what hope is. I have hope for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I hope it gets better. You know, it's usually you're done in a positive way. So I think you're on the right path. I think you need to turn this into faith, though, and know that things are going to get better because you've been delivered from, obviously, a horrible situation.
Ugh.
My spouse's teenager, I was robbed at gunpoint, and my spouse's teenager set it up and watched. Right after that, if I was writing this letter, it would just have dot, dot, dot.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd see a whole bunch of stuff you couldn't read. It'd be blood on the paper, and it'd be a lot of tears and stuff.
It'd be blood on the paper.
Yeah, it'd be blood on the paper. And then you'd be, what is them
what
drops? That's
here?
Where the boy was crying when I was hanging him over here choking him.
You know,
I can tell you a lot that's going to happen. But your children were there. It was very scary. And then your spouse, who is your husband, never disciplined his child for this. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You got robbed at gunpoint.
Gunpoint.
By your stepson, I'm assuming.
Yeah, yeah.
In this blended family that you say are not easy, which is true. Mm-hmm. Yours really ain't easy because they robbing you at gunpoint. Mm-hmm. I've had a couple of problems in a blended family too. But I bet you one thing. Bet not now one of them pull a gun out and point it at me and don't kill me. Okay, let me. I'm finna go somewhere.
He watched. Too. Yeah, it's crazy.
This letter, y'all. I really can't even get
it's
my.
It's crazy.
You should have did to this boy. You should have called the police. But
that's
then I understand. No mom wants to call the police
exactly.
on what's supposed to be her child. I do understand that. But this dad who allowed this to happen without disciplining this boy.
Nothing?
Discipline is on the word. I don't know. What, I'm sorry.
Gun
I'm sorry.
Point.
I can't even formulate my thoughts about this one. I really apologize because normally I'm better than this, but this letter right here.
But
really,
you're angry. You're upset. Who does this? I mean, how could something like this happen and he not step up?
I'm lost
it.
On so many levels.
Yeah.
I don't know where to start with my anger. First of all, this dude set you up, but this is your child, stepson, but the daddy know about it and ain't did nothing? Damn.
And he wants to work it out? He wants to work the marriage out?
We ain't got no marriage.
Get out of here.
You let
Ryan.
Somebody rob your wife, man, and you watch, and you don't do nothing about it? You ain't no man. I don't see why you want to stay with a dude that ain't a man no damn way.
Get out now. All right. We'll
stay
let you
out.
Formulate your thoughts, Steve. Part two.
I can't get it together. I apologize.
Steve's response coming up 12 after.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, I got part two of this letter coming up, so don't go away. All right, let's get back to this ignorant letter. Robbed at gunpoint. This lady's spouse's teenager set it up and watched. Her children were there. It was very scary. My spouse never disciplined his child for this. We don't have a good relationship. Blended families are not easy. Yeah, well, blended families ain't this, though. But if both adults are not on the same page, it won't work. That's another true statement. I've had to deal with disrespect, theft, etc. Icing on the cake was the robbery. Forgiveness is the hope that the past could have been different. I told my spouse I will forgive in my time. I've been asking God to help me with this. My spouse and I have decided to go our separate ways. He wanted us to work it out, but I refuse to live like a prisoner. We have children together, and their happiness is important to me. I've never been rich, but I feel like I struggled more financially when he was in the home. I'm still struggling, and I pray every day that things will get better. Please help me. I can't comment on this letter because I'm really, for the first time, I'm so mad on so many levels because the father, for starters, allows this to happen. A man will not allow his wife to be robbed and he witness it and know who did it and don't do nothing about it.
Nothing?
That ain't no man. That ain't no man gonna let nothing happen to his girl like that. And he don't do nothing. Next level. My son puts my wife at gunpoint. Boy.
Woo.
Boy, that's the other level.
It's
this,
over.
My, me and boy, me
Man.
And you
finna take this daddy-son thing to a whole nother level.
Yes. Yeah.
That's disturbing. The fact that the son sets it up and watches his stepmother, who no matter how you feel about her, does she deserve that? And suppose that damn gun go off.
Yeah.
You know, it's so many levels.
Yes.
And then the daddy don't do nothing about it. And then they breaking up. He want to work it out. She's struggling with the forgiveness part of it. Man, listen,
you can forgive and leave. You can forgive and leave.
Please get out.
Yeah, but see, what you want Ryan finna do is be a prisoner in the house, like she say.
No.
He's stealing stuff. Got her at gunpoint. I tell you what, though.
Gunpoint?
How old is this damn boy?
So you're supposed to be able to put your son out.
How old is he?
Can I kill him in his coup? How old do a boy have to be?
She needs a press charge.
I just need to know how old do the boy have to be where I can kill him and it's cool. I just, whatever age that is, I got time.
Yeah, she says she's still struggling. We understand that. It's going to take a minute to get over that.
You take a baseball bat down there and get rid of some of this tension.
What to do with the body?
All right, today's letter is posted on steveharvey.com. You can also tweet or Instagram me your thoughts at My Girl Shirley. Now, coming up after the break at 34 after the hour, NBA All-Star Game this weekend. Who is the greatest basketball player to ever play the game?
Tommy, who you think it is?
It's Jordan. I really do.
Jordan, hands down.
It's Jordan. I love LeBron, but it's Jordan.
Well, you know, LeBron's still playing.
Yeah, but he done some incredible stuff already.
You know what I'm saying? We're going to wait until when he finishes his career. We'll see.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, our question of the day, are you getting a tax refund? What are you planning on doing with the money? And part two, the greatest basketball player of all time. Hey, Tommy, give me your top five best players. Think about it, and I'm going to come back to you. Junior, give me your top five.
I'll
think about it, I'm going to come back to you. All right, we could go to phone, but let me do this right. Save you some time here. Top five basketball players of all time. Junior.
Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Magic Johnson, Bird, and Akeem Olajuwon. Mm.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice list.
Wow.
Just had to do
that. Wow. How many did you name, though?
I named five. Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, and Akeem Olajuwon.
Wow. Tommy?
All right, y'all got to bear with me on this now. Jordan.
Yeah.
LeBron. Mm-hmm. Muggsy Bogues, Spud Webb, and Chris Paul.
Oh, you picked all short people.
Little bitty.
I tried to squeeze Nate Robinson in there, but I had you said five.
Why are you laughing so hard, Junior?
Did you hear his five?
I did.
Ain't nobody on his list over five.
I know.
Five.
Wow.
All right,
what's
Steve,
your five?
Come on.
Come on up.
Jordan was the greatest player of all time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Four more.
Bird and Magic are one because they made each other. You can't say Magic without saying Bird. You can't say Bird without saying Magic. So Magic Bird is one. Okay. You just can't. You can't separate them two, man.
Really?
From college, when it was Indiana against Michigan State, I mean, not Indiana, but the school, that little school in Indiana, French Lick. Mm-hmm. From that all the way through the pro, you can't, them one without the other. It's not. So I consider them one. Magic and Bird, same. So that's two.
Okay.
LeBron James has done enough to go down in history as one of the greatest basketball players of all time.
Okay, that's three.
The next most, I'm a little torn with this one, though.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give Kobe his due.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because Kobe ass man balled.
Yeah.
He, that boy, balled, man. And he balled with an intensity.
Yeah.
Who you torn with, though?
You know.
Okay.
And did he win a ring without Shaq?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
See?
Yes, he did.
Two.
See, so I had to get a boy his.
Okay.
I had to get that boy his. And then the person that changed the game, that revolutionized basketball, was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
He's on my list.
I just thought that boy right there, that skyhook, And then he eliminated. They stopped dunking in college because of him. You could not dunk because of Kareem. They ruled out dunking because of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. They stopped dunking in college basketball. It was the craziest thing you've ever seen.
I still like Elijah Warren on that, for junior. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's cool that everybody got their opinion. Yeah, but Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, no, sir. No, sir. When you threw it to him, he was money. He was money, man.
So Dr. J didn't make your five. Yes.
He made mine. My
five. No, not the greatest five. He made your five, Shirley.
Man, yeah.
He's a great ball player.
And he's fine. And he's, right.
What?
I'm talking about what I saw revolutionize the game. Now, if I told y'all the real truth, you wouldn't even understand it because you don't even know nothing about Oscar Robertson. No. You don't even understand what he was. So I just ain't even no need of me throwing that in there because you don't even know that. Mm. You don't even know Elgin Baylor.
You sounded mad though.
Yeah, there you go.
They don't know.
There you go.
Tiny Archibald.
Damn, Wilt Chamberlain. Boy, 100 points in a damn game. I'm talking about doing ignorant mess. I seen all that. Yeah. So, but ain't no need of me throwing that in there.
Wilt got more points on and off the court.
Had all the women, right? That's the one that had all the women.
He put some numbers up.
Wilt had more women than Rodman had points.
He had more women than Rodman had points. Rodman ain't never had 100 points in his career. No.
Total. 20,000.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, we will have Steve Harvey world premiere of a brand new Mary J. Blige song, okay?
Nice.
All right. This one's called You Plus Me Love Lesson. Mary J. wanted the Steve Harvey Nation to get to hear it first, and we will play it at the top of the hour. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, here we go. All right, floats, marching bands, street parties, and they're about to converge with slam dunks, three-point plays, and buzzer beaters in New Orleans. It's going to be a lot going on in New Orleans. Yes, Mardi Gras revelers and basketball fans alike will let the good times roll when New Orleans Mardi Gras meets NBA All-Star Weekend. I love it. Let's go. This is going to be a lot going on in New Orleans. Yes, Mardi Gras revelers and basketball fans alike will let the good times roll when New Orleans Mardi Gras meets NBA All-Star Weekend. I love it. Let's go. Mardi Gras is one reason why the NBA's annual showcase is in New Orleans for a third time. When the NBA pulled the 2017 All-Star Game from Charlotte because of a North Carolina law that limits the protections of LGBT people, New Orleans hurriedly put together a bid to host that the full weekend of events involving celebrities and the NBA elite would coincide with the first major Mardi Gras parade was pitched as more of a selling point than a complication. I love it. We were in a good position in that we were already prepared for Mardi Gras and already had our special events operations going. To kind of plug the NBA into that, Ryan Burney, a spokesman for our friend Mayor Mitchell Andrews, said in an interview with the Associated Press. I love it. They were already ready for Mardi Gras. So, let's
come on down.
Just bring it on down, the All-Star Game. Okay, NBA owners, officials, players, and other dignitaries have been invited to parties at prime viewing areas along with historic St. Charles Avenue on Friday night. And they'll have an opportunity to experience Mardi Gras like a local. This is according to Jay Cicero. He's president of the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation. What a great way to expose Mardi Gras to people who may never have seen it, said
Cicero.
Don't
you feel like some gumbo right now?
I say, my husband is on his way.
To the NBA All-Star? Uh-huh. Go ahead, bro, Tosh. Enjoy yourself.
What's up, Tosh? Don't lose your mind.
Oh, he gonna lose it, though.
He get real brand new, though. My husband, when he goes home to New Orleans, he real different when he goes.
Enjoy.
He acts funny, right?
He's going with his fellas, the guys. Because, I went to the Super Bowl. So he's like, that's cool. That's cool. Okay, we'll go to All-Star. Mm-hmm. So
go on. Have fun. Did he tell you to have fun?
He's like, go on, go kick it at the Super Bowl.
Make the most of it. Don't come back. He already told you, Carla, don't come back by 10.
Late as you want. Drink, have fun.
Have fun.
Yeah, go to the clubs, all of that. Yeah.
Do everything.
Yeah. So when I came back, he was like, from the Super Bowl, me and the fellas. Yeah, we headed to an NBA All-Star.
Okay.
Yeah, road trip.
Yes.
Got my cigars. He said, and his Mardi Gras, too. I'm going home.
He got his beads.
He got everything.
Okay.
You know, well, that's born fun. And raised.
Oh, gosh, don't throw no beads. You get your hand broke.
Throw your beads up.
Throw me something, mister. That's what you say. When you want the beads, mm-hmm. you say, throw me something, mister. Uh-huh. Then you, you know.
You got some beads before calling?
Mm-hmm.
All right, now.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
All right, now.
What you do after you got them, Carla?
Before, you got to get them first.
We can see I'm married to a man from New Orleans.
Okay, all right, then. All right.
Freak-a-lay.
All right.
Let's go to the
phones. We're going to...
get me out of there.
Yeah, if you, right. If you're going to get a tax return, what are you going to do with that money? And here's part two of that same question. Who do you think is the greatest basketball player of all time? Allen out of Texas, Steve.
Allen?
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's up, man? What up with you, boy?
Man, I'm chilling. What is going on, Steve Harvey?
Dog, I'm just up in here just doing what I do, man. I'm just making it happen.
I hear that, man. Make it happen, then. Make
and
happen.
Allen, I fear no man but God.
Hey, I feel you, man. I feel you. God bless you, man. I fear no man and God myself, man.
But I swear I don't. Hey, man, you getting a refund check?
Man, that's what they tell me.
Are you waiting
but I gotta
on
see it first.
That's what they tell me. I don't know. You know, those student loans, man, they be sneaking up on you, man. I don't never plan for nothing. But I they do give me something, man. I'm gonna pay all these bills off.
All right.
Yeah, man. I ain't mad at you, man.
I try to see nephew Tommy, but this ticket's too high. You know what I'm saying?
How much is his tickets, man?
Man, his ticket was up there, man. The scalpel trying to get me, man.
That wasn't me. That was a scalpel. Nuh-uh. I ain't done that. I wouldn't do that.
Why Tommy ticket so high?
Man, I don't know. I guess it's all he got to pay all the people. Eugene, Oakville, all them. But I'll be like, they're the same people. I don't know, man.
That's funny.
Because everybody
got to
get a cut. You know how it is,
see? Yeah, hell yeah. Uh-huh. Tommy, how much is tickets, though, for real?
$50.
Man, that dude told me
75.
See, nah, that's them scalpers, man.
Trying to get us, man.
Where you live at, Allen?
I'm in Austin, Texas, man.
Okay.
Yeah, so come on back. Steve high-sided your mojos the last time, but they actually had some good chicken wings so they caught on fire burned down.
Okay.
The mojos.
You got a lot of information, Allen.
I love Allen.
I know. Thank you. All right, Motown, Deacon Def Jam, they're coming up next. All right, hang on. We'll be back. You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, that's Mary J. Blige's new one, y'all. Let us know. You plus me.
Love
lesson.
Mary.
Woo.
She's
a bad girl, man.
Yeah.
What? Boy, I went to her show. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we had a good time.
No,
didn't we?
Right there. Yeah. Ain't no joke.
Uh-huh. Mary J. Blige. The truth.
And she's such a cool person, man.
Yeah, she is.
Really, really cool person.
All right, speaking of Mary J., this past Saturday, Mary J. performed and warned the audience at the Clive Davis Gala that she was not in a good place, okay? So you know what that means when she's not
she's
in a good
the
place.
Lights
that's
out.
Right. She says, I look happy somewhat, but I'm going through some horrible stuff right now. She was about to perform in tribute to Saturday night's honoree, BET Network's president, Deborah Lee. She says, it's called a divorce. It's called a divorce.
It didn't got hot behind the scenes then. Yeah.
Anyway, Mary J., we are rooting for you.
Yes,
we are.
Hey,
we love you, Mary J.
Yes, we are.
Some spousal support. How much he wanted?
It was a lot. Kind of foolishness.
Yeah, for some flowers.
Over 100-some thousand a month or something like that?
Yeah. That was a lot.
Something to report.
You got to get your ass a job, man.
You
got to get your ass a job, dog. Nobody finna take care of you.
You wanted a chef, they said.
A chef? You better get you some pots and pans. You better ask for something to cook with. Nobody finna take care of you. You're a grown-ass man.
No, it's
We love
I don't know, man. Divorce is ugly, man. I feel badly for her because she's got to keep trying to live and do her thing in her career. It's always sad when the other person can just sit and make allegations and attack.
Absolutely.
While you out there still trying to make your life work and happen.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, let me tell you something, man. When they attack you, they got time. Mm-hmm. They got time. Mm-hmm. You know the part that I don't like?
What?
Here's the thing that has to change in this country. When you sue a person or make a claim against a person, and it's of the false nature, and then you go to court, and then the one person that you accuse gets, he's vindicated, it didn't happen. If you find out that you was lying and you bought four false checks, something should happen to you.
Yeah, nothing happens to the accuser.
Something should happen to you.
You're right.
You can't just skip your ass on back to the house. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't get the millions I thought I was going to get. Nice try. And then some damn lawyer sitting up there, he done invested $200,000-$300,000 of his money because he thinking he about to hit the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. So they all, then they drag you through the mud. Then you get vindicated. Then you get to just skip off like ain't nothing happened. That's unfair, man.
It is.
Yeah, it really is.
That's unfair, man.
I really don't like in divorce, and I've been divorced as well, Steve, when the man tries to get money from the woman. You know, I can't, like alimony and stuff. I cannot with that. Sorry. I don't care how rich the woman was or how much money she had.
You know, now let me tell you something. Like I understand a woman's position. She has children. She sacrificed herself to help you get where you are. You know, she gave of herself. Mm-hmm. I know there's some men saying, well, we did the same thing. But not actually.
No.
You know, you jumped on a banana boat, dog, and it was full of fruit. I think that women who are, you know, domestic engineers and give of themselves, and you marry this man and y'all build this
carry
life together.
Babies for 9 months.
You know, mm-hmm. and then y'all build a life together, and that divorce is going to be some alimony. I got that. Mm-hmm. I really do.
But I ain't paying you. Oh, I'm sorry.
But a man, though.
Surely
that marries a woman who's already famous, already working, and then you marry into that, and now you want a check?
Right.
Ah, bro, come on, man.
You want a chef?
You still tripping on that.
Mary J.,
somebody
we love
cooking
you.
Cooking for you the rest of your life? Are you serious? You better get you a barbecue pit, man, and get out there and make some sandwiches and earn you some money.
Make some sandwiches.
Hey, Shirley.
Yes.
It's tough, man.
Yeah, it is. Divorce.
It's tough to get a divorce and still go to work and get all that.
Yeah, it's like somebody died in your life. That's what it feels like, a death. Yeah.
Nope. And what mine felt.
That's what mine felt.
What'd yours feel like?
And a lot of people say that. It feels like death. Like you lose someone. What does yours feel like, Steve?
Both of them.
Okay, let's move on.
I'm going to be honest, though.
Look at the time.
The first woman, it was really me.
Mm-hmm.
Be honest with you, it was really me. I'm just totally 100% me. That's all I could say. It was just all me that first.
And you were really young, too.
How old were you? I forgot.
Man. Yeah, 24. You were really young.
You
I got married
24?
At 24, man. I ain't had nothing, man. I didn't have nothing. I'll give, offer. I thought I had a plan. A couple of things went wrong, man. It wasn't her, man. It just wasn't her.
That's big of you to admit that, Steve.
No, I mean, you know, I said it at my daughter's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know,
there. Yeah.
When I gave my speech, and I thanked, you know, Marjorie and everything for pulling the family together, and then I thanked Brandy and Carly for staying together, and I thanked. But then I turned around and I said I have to thank Marsha for raising my daughters the way she did, you know, for taking them to church and putting them in dance class and teaching them. You know, this woman did all that without me.
That's
big.
Big of you
to say that in front of all those people, you know.
Yeah, you know. I knew all them people was from Cleveland. I knew half her family hated me. I know.
Yeah. Coming up next, Pastor Motown Deacon Def Jam in
he
the
have,
building.
He have food in the corner of his mouth a lot of times.
Coming up next, Pastor Motown Deacon Def Jam in the building.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, coming up next, Pastor Motown and Deacon Def Jam are here.
Singing my life.
Thank you, Pastor.
Put you in the mood.
We today want to bring something to your attention.
All right.
The sermon for today is New Orleans is too much.
Yes, yes. The N-O, Pastor. Talk about the N-O.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, let's go deeper.
Uh-huh.
New Orleans is too much.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
New Orleans proved too much for the man. He couldn't take it.
Oh, really?
So he's leaving on a what?
Midnight train.
On the midnight train to Georgia.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm.
There's someone calling me right now. And they don't know that I'm in the middle of a sermon and I'm going to have to call you back. That's how
preach
I handle
it. Preach on,
New Orleans proved too much for the man. He couldn't take it. So he's leaving tonight on a midnight train. Well...
To Georgia. Oh, you better preach up in here, Pastor.
Why am I saying that?
No.
It's because in New Orleans, there's an incredible event going down.
Yeah.
It's called Mardi. Mm-hmm. Mardi Gras.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mardi Gras this weekend.
Yeah.
And on the same weekend, the NBA thought it'd be a good idea to have an all-star game at the same time. How much hell can you pack in one weekend? How many tricks going to fly into New Orleans for this? It's going to be hell on high wheels in New Orleans to do. Ain't no treats for you. Everybody in New Orleans going to hell this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Mardi Gras beads, women pulling up their chests, showing their boobies, everything for a little
boobies.
Fake ruby, and now they're gonna bring in the NBA players. You know them boys don't know how to stay out of them strip clubs, but you're gonna mess around in New Orleans and go in the wrong kind of strip club. You're gonna wind up watching a donkey do some things that you didn't know was doable.
Come on here, Pastor.
You're gonna go in there and mess around in New Orleans, gonna find out what folk midgets really do. You're gonna mess around because New Orleans and Bourbon Street got tricks for you. I don't think some of them NBA players is going to make it out alive this weekend. They're going to be in the news. They finna be on TMZ. Everybody going to New Orleans to see what kind of fool they're going to make out theyself. Come on, LeBron, make it back and stay clean. Watch yourself, Dwayne Wade. Come back and be clean. Come on down there, Carmelo. Make it back like the strong fella that you is. I tell you one thing. They need to see Charles Oakley down there this weekend so he can clean house. Swinging and banging from Cleveland is what I'm talking about.
Come on, Charles.
It's going to be some problems. Some of them young players is going to get caught up in the hype.
Yeah.
Some of them young boys going to get out now and going to be all over the place this weekend. My only wish is that I was young enough to go my damn self. Because I swear to God, I want to be down there. If I could just be a fly on the wall or a wall on the fly, it don't make me no different.
What you think about Draymond Green down there, Panther? Draymond Green.
Draymond Green, the photos are already down there.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, y'all, we back. Let's get to these back-to-back jams. Cat, let's go.
Yay.
It's all right, just treat me right.
Please. All right, y'all, hey, when we come back, we got time for just one more thing. President Trump will not be filling out the bracket. We'll tell you about it after the break. I don't know what
you talk
means.
To him, Steve?
I'll wait for it.
You tear your ass back down now. You're going to get enough of this, him.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, coming up next, we got time for just one more thing. President Trump will not be filling out the bracket this year.
All right, here we go. Just one more thing. It looks like President Donald Trump isn't just the complete opposite of former President Obama at the polls. He's a complete opposite at the polls, too. March Madness pools, that is. Okay, let's distinguish which pools we're talking about. Unlike President Obama, has the past 8 years, President Trump will not be picking brackets for the 2017 men's and women's tournaments. Remember how President Obama used to do that every year and it would be fun and everybody would get into it? Well, not this president. The White House notified ESPN yesterday that the president will pass on making picks this year, saying in a statement, "We expressed our interest to the White House in continuing the presidential bracket. They have respectfully declined." Of course, being the shrewd businessman that he is, Trump kept the lines of communication open, having White House spokesman Hope Hicks also mention, "We look forward to working with ESPN on another opportunity in the near future." Still, it has practically become a tradition since former President Obama, who was an avid basketball fan, agreed to fill them out for the men's and women's tournaments and discuss his picks on SportsCenter. Yeah. What's wrong, Steve?
Yeah, don't nobody care.
That he doesn't want to do it, you mean?
No. What does it make? Yeah.
Well, it made the news. I mean, it was one of the top stories.
But
yesterday.
Obama was really, really a basketball fan.
Yeah, he was
fan.
Into it. And he was fit, and he could play. And
Donald Trump played golf.
Now, if Putin get to pick in basketball.
President Obama played golf.
We're
going to
have a doggone
well.
Problem. When y'all be together, do he be talking about Putin? Steve.
Steve going to smack you. Oh, he's going to reach back.
He's going to smack.
I'm sorry. It's funny, though. Steve, you're a comedian. These are jokes. You're supposed to laugh. What is wrong with you?
I only laugh.
Next time y'all golfing, ask him who going to work this wall he talking about putting up.
Shirley, we got to stop laughing. Sit up straight.
I can't. I can do him. He do me all the time.
He does everybody.
You know it's coming back, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I know that.
I know that. But the real question is, when is we going to Russia? I know we got to be going soon. No, we private jet in Russia. I know that.
Oh, God. Vodka.
For everybody.
Yes. All around.
And caviar.
You sure filling up a lot of this break.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm thinking, dog? I want you to give me a big Russian hat. I'm nice. I've seen them on TV. I want me one. Yeah.
You can get a big Russian hat. You're going to need a bottle of vodka, too. You filling up this... Yeah, I tell you one thing. You filling up this last break way better than you filling up Willett Hall.
Oh, it's hard. Oh, he goes. No, he goes personal.
You stop, Uncle Steve. You quit. You stop that.
Oh no.
But what you don't know is Willett Hall is getting full.
Getting full. It is full.
And the stuff you said yesterday. We sold out Chrysler Hall in 2015. So you can quit coming out of
2015?
Yeah, that's when we did the last tour.
What year is this?
I didn't say nothing on that time. I did. That's
a damn. We tried to act like, you know, we couldn't do Chrysler Hall. You know, just throwing rock.
Yes, you did. Hold up. What are we talking about 2015? How many seats was in Chrysler Hall?
However many was we
How
sold
many
that.
Seats was in Chrysler Hall?
Whatever it is, I sold.
Well, just give me, Monica, look it up for me right quick.
Okay.
Just Google it right quick so I can give you all the credit you need.
Why does
Come on
that?
Now. Let's go.
Okay, I'll
No,
call
this is going to be nice.
What is the evilness
what?
For, man?
It ain't no evilness, dog. I'm finna give you all the credit you want.
What are you talking about, Junior?
Junior, what you talking about? What
you over here messing with this man? You know we ain't got no firepower to be talking to somebody as a king.
We sold it out, though, Junior. Damn, stand up on what we sold out.
Yeah, he sold out arenas.
All right, then. We know that. We know he done sold out arenas. That's fine.
We ain't got time to be doing this, man. Leave this man alone.
How many seats is in Chrysler Hall?
Shirley, over here counting seats.
Shirley,
stop. Count, Shirley.
Let me find out. You just got to know. Okay, here we go. All right, Chrysler Hall, 2,500.
Okay, I was almost
2,500. Chrysler Hall is 2,500. You sold
sitting
that
right
out
there,
in 215
St. Paul's Boulevard. Yes.
So in 2017, Willett Hall ain't but 2,000, and that ain't sold out yet.
We gotta
Good
go.
Lord Jesus, what is happening to your damn career? Is it going the other way?
These little 500 seats is bothering you.
I didn't even bring it up, Tommy. I knew how many seats was. I knew what he was going to do to your stupid ass. You Steve, ooh, you were.
Well, our next show was in Russia.
Hey, Tommy.
What?
Tommy, I did the scope in Norfolk, 11,000 seater.
Okay. Where that's at?
The place that's too big for you to know.
All right, it's time to
that
go.
That must have been
Say
the Kings.
It's time to go.
Man, go put your clothes on.
I see y'all. Hey, y'all, do what y'all can. Now, y'all, Willard Hall. Willard Hall. Be at Willard Hall.
Okay.
Come see Junior and Tommy. Please sell it out. It ain't but 2,000 damn seats. Where y'all at? Is y'all listening? Are we on? Are we home? Y'all have a great weekend.
Yeah, I love you too.
Get out and sing, please. Jesus. Because you come in here Monday, it ain't sold out. It's going to be hell to pay.
Steve Harvey contest, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.